I get to talk about something that's close to my heart. Obviously, you guys know that. And that is about the youth of this congregation. The elders have asked me to give a report of the things that have been going on with the youth. And as you see from the picture behind me, that is an older picture from last year, but it was the best picture I could find, so I put it on the front. We will be talking about the youth report of this year and the things they've been busy doing. One of the things that we've been doing the most, or one thing that many of the teens are a part of, is this thing called Challenge Youth Conference, or CYC. As you see, we had 22 of us all together go. Hannah, Dan Fuller, and I were the chaperones, and then we had 19 kids. You think we had our hands full, but we really didn't. They're great kids, and they make it really easy on us. But you see that number there. 8,000 youth attend this Challenge Youth Conference. That doesn't include the adults that are there, and so that number gets close to 10,000 whenever you count in the chaperones. They've had to split this Challenge Youth Conference into two different sections because they had outgrown the fire code. And so we took part of the early session. We left Thursday right after the kids got out of school, so they did miss a Friday. But we traveled up there. We got there with plenty of time. And the entire weekend is devoted to Christ, devoted to God. There's nothing, even though they are taking part of some of the festivities that Gatlinburg has to offer, the focus is on this. And that's not only there at the Challenge Youth Conference, but us as a group together. Whenever we weren't at the CYC, we were or at the actual conference, we were back in the room and we were singing songs together. Some of the greatest singing I've ever heard was that Friday night after CYC was over. And several of the things that we did there, we talked about reaching out to others, and we had a perfect example, and I don't mean to bring attention to him, but Dan Fuller went out of his way to talk to this man who obviously was downtrodden, and just his life was in shambles. You could tell by looking at him. He went out of his way to tell him he needed to find God, and that Dan would be willing to talk to him about anything. And so I used that opportunity to tell the kids there's opportunities out there, and we've got to take hold of them. But you see from the thing up here, it's got several of the speakers that were there. Dan Chambers, Brad Montague, and one of our favorites is Lonnie Jones, who will be coming to our ET for Youth this year in August. Lonnie Jones just has an ability to really grab the hearts of the teens and talk about things that they are specifically dealing with. And this year he talked about how we may spend time on less important things. We may make those things urgent, even though they're not important, whenever so many other things are more important. And he gave us the perfect illustration in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, about how we're holding on to those unimportant things with one hand, while God is holding on to our other hand. And it was a great visual picture. And so that was one of the major things that we did, and we all got back safely and had a great weekend, but it always boosts our teens, and it always boosts my confidence in them. I see what they're capable of doing, and I see where their hearts truly lie whenever we get to do things like this. And so CYC was one of those major things in February. It was the end of February, as you can see the dates, that we were able to do. Another thing that we did was the FHU trip to Macon Music. You're not going to see too many pictures on here because I am awful at taking pictures. I forget my camera. Hannah forgets her camera. And so we do forget a lot of things, and I actually pulled these from Lonnie. But these are some of the pictures that we had from FHU when we went to make a trip. We left like we did for CYC on a Thursday. We got up there Friday afternoon. We were there on campus for 27 hours, and we drove for over 27 hours. So we didn't get to spend a whole lot of time there, but we did. The kids did get to see the campus. And as you see from the picture in the top right, that's a picture of Old Main, if you've ever been to Freed Hardeman. That's one of the storied buildings there. That's us in front of Old Main. And then up in the left corner, you may recognize those guys, or you may not because of what they're wearing. Daniel Jenkins and Shea Brown were a part of Macon Music. They were actually part of the winning show this year. But we got to just spend time in the kids were engulfed with the campus experience. Although they didn't get to be around the kids as the college age as much because they're during that weekend they're removed because of making music. But they did get to be a part of the campus. We took them into Jackson, so they knew that that it wasn't just a podunk town and you're stuck in the middle of nowhere. There is actually some stuff to do. And so that trip was just for them to see the campus, to see something that they may want to look at whenever they are making their decision to go to college. And this is one of the major ones that I would like to talk about. And as you saw, part of this youth outreach just happened whenever Chad Brown gave his lesson. Whenever we sat down at the beginning of the year, we thought about what is missing. What is missing for the youth? And we all decided, and all of us together said that they weren't getting enough opportunities to lead. And so we are now giving them several opportunities to lead, not only on Sunday nights, but every single Wednesday night we have a devotional in class. We'll have some of the young men lead songs. Some of them will lead devotionals. They'll lead the prayer and scripture every week. And so they have a weekly chance to lead in worship. Next month, as you see, the youth will be doing everything in worship. May 29th will be a young men's night. And we'll have two of our own boys preaching. They will be doing the prayers. They will be presiding over the table. And so be sure, May 29th, go ahead and mark that on your calendars as one that you'll want to be at. Because it is so good to see the way that they're growing and the zeal that they have for God. And so that's what this whole program is about, is them reaching up, that vertical relationship with God, instead of just being horizontal here. Also, the young women will be given devotionals at split gender devotionals. We'll split the two groups up, so they'll get opportunities to lead. And there's been monthly classes preparing them to be leaders of the future, and we'll have several of those coming up in the month of May. Youth Outreach is a great program, and it's been very successful, and I've been able to see the boys grow. And most of them don't even ask for my help for the devotionals. They do them on their own, and it's always a great thing and inspiring to me to watch them do that. Here's some reoccurring monthly events that we do. You hear the acronyms all the time, SOS, SNO, or SNO. You hear these acronyms, you might not know what they mean, so I stayed away from those. Singing on Sunday, or the SOS. What we've done is taking the traditional devotional that we always have, and we make it about singing. We sing for a great number of the time, 40, 45 minutes, and then we'll have a devotional on a song. And the purpose of that is to give more meaning to the songs that they sing. Sometimes we sing songs just because we like the melody, we like the way it sounds. And what the idea behind singing on Sunday is giving them the opportunity to really cherish those words, to grab onto those words, and so that the next time they hear that song, they're not just thinking about, wow, this sounds great. They're thinking about how great those words are. Also, Sunday night out, that is our activity night, something that they get to go and have fun, and it's a chance for fellowship, and that's what we stress. It's not just about the fun. It's about being together and making friendships. Don't get thrown off by the title, Wednesday Night Dinner and Games. This is an evangelistic opportunity is what it is. It is an attractive title. It has the word games in it. And the idea is for them to bring their friends to those Wednesday night dinner and games. We've had great numbers so far. We started it just 2 months ago. And they've been doing a great job inviting their friends. And what I've done in order to make it more of an evangelistic opportunity, instead of just the traditional class on a book, what we're doing is taking a walk through Jesus's life, or we're talking about very simple things of the Bible, and it's something that anyone can grasp. And that way, their visitors aren't coming in and they're being bombarded with these things that they don't understand. Instead, they're seeing things that they can grasp, things that they've heard before, and things that they can know. And the idea is to make them more comfortable there, and something that they can take away. Obviously, we have the devotional every month, and that's something that I always look forward to. And then the one on the bottom, classes on Wednesdays, teaching them how to conduct a study. That's something we started this quarter, And what we've been doing so far is showing them the things to cover. How do you start the study? How do you end the study? We've covered those things. And now what we're about to do in class is take part in mock Bible studies. I'm going to be using the kids, and they're going to be asking the questions that may come up in a study. They're going to be looking at verses and pulling the things that people would pull from in a study. And so the idea is to give them this tool that they can hold on to, this something that they can grab, and it will be something they can use for the rest of their life. And so they're not just going in with no idea of how to study the Bible with someone. They have a real great idea of how to do it, and they're capable of doing it. So we're really looking forward to the progress that can be made there. And then service projects. This is one that, to me, feels lacking, something that I wish we could do more of, but we are doing a lot of service projects. You see that we went to visit the Allen family while Flo was struggling and after she passed. You see that picture there on the screen? It was Linda Allen's birthday. And we had heard that they were down, that a lot of things were going on. And so we went out to their house, we got our cake, and they were very thankful that we came out. And it was so touching to us because it almost became more of us becoming a shoulder for James, her husband, to lean on. And he talked about his life, about how Flo had changed it, and how much she meant to him. But Linda was very much inspired by us being there. And I say that after she passed, we had seven or eight of the teens show up for the service where you or the viewing where you could talk to the family. And so we had a great number show up to that to just encourage and to be there for them. And so I was really encouraged by that. Also, several participated in the workday a few weeks ago or last weekend. Some of you may have got these cookies for the shut-ins. That was actually at the end of the year. We gave those in December, and the girls spent 4 or 5 hours cooking up as many cookies as they could, and we gave several of those out, and we got to spend a lot of time with those shut-ins and with the widows. And again, it's just great to hear their life story and for the kids to be able to hear the life of a Christian who has gone on to that solid food, like Chad had just talked about. Also, the egg hunt that happened yesterday, we had a great turnout. We had about 10 teens for that, and we had about 10 kids, so we had a great turnout for that. And then many young men helped with Ladies' Day. We had a great number of our youth that were doing that. Next thing that I want to talk about is their focus on evangelism. You see that number there, over 60 visitors in the 20 months that I've been here. That has nothing to do with me. I did not make that happen. The teens and God has made that happen. Over 60 visitors in the 20 months that I've been here is a phenomenal number. It's one that we should all be able to look at and be encouraged by to go out and invite our coworkers and invite the people that we know. There have been several Bible studies set up, one baptism of a visitor, and just that bottom line there. The teens have a great understanding of their purpose. They know what they're to do. They know that the only way that the church is truly going to grow is if they make it happen. I'm not in their schools. I don't have the contacts that they have. And they understand that. And so they're doing all they can to make that happen. What can I do to help? You may be asking yourself that question. What can I do to help the youth? You can keep the youth in your prayers. That's the number one thing. They are facing so many things that you may not have had to face when you were their age. Many of you probably did. You know how hard it is. You know how hard the peer pressure is on every side of you. And so they need your prayers. They need you to be constantly praying for them, that they'll be able to be successful in their Christian living. The next thing, I told you that we're slacking in service projects in my mind. If you know of some service projects we can do, let me know. I don't want our kids just doing something because they have to be doing it. If you truly need something done or you know somebody who needs something done, please let me know, and we'll make that happen. The next one, parents, encourage your kids to become an active part of the youth group. If your kid is not an active part right now, and you know whether or not they are, please encourage them to be part of this active youth group. It is a way for them to grow. It is a way for them to become those Christians who will move on to the solid food. It is a way for them to be able to fight off the evil desires that come along with being a teenager. So if you are a parent who knows that their kid is not an active part, encourage them. And not push isn't the right word, but encourage them to become an active part of the group. And then for all of us, we need to teach them what we know. For those elderly of the congregation, it is amazing to just watch them sit at your feet. And I do plan on setting up some stuff in the future about sitting at the feet of those who have been Christians their entire life. For them to talk about their life, for them to talk about what they've gone through and how they got through. That's what all of us can do. We can teach them what we know, and by that they can benefit. So that's all I have for the youth. And as you see, we've been very active. We've been doing a lot. And it's not just to keep them busy, but we want to see them grow into Christian individuals who will grow up to be the leaders of the church of tomorrow.